Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I called it the saddest, most inspiring story in college basketball. It really is. I mean, there's a part to the Multnomah University story that is troubling and disappointing and sad because college athletics is seemingly off the rails. The business of university life sometimes hits you like a bag of bricks. I wrote about it today. Multnomah University, on the first day of class after Christmas break, the coaches of the school's programs, athletic department programs, were called into a room. They were handed envelopes. The letters had employment termination dates. The school's NIIA programs are playing their last season. Basketball team, the men's basketball team, is 13-8. Most successful men's basketball season in school history. It is a great story. It is a wonderful story. And unfortunately, is a story that has a short shelf life because this last dance or this last roundup or this last goodbye or whatever you want to call it is ending at the end of this season. Six regular season games left, and it's a sobering story, but it's a story that I think we need to talk about it. Now, their head men's basketball coach is a guy named Teo Jem. You may know him. David Douglas High School, local, been involved in club sports and coaching kids and well-connected in the Portland metropolitan area and is doing a great job in this final season at Multnomah University. And Teo Jem is joining us now. Coach, did I get it right? I mean, what was that like to get called into that room and get handed an envelope?
Yeah, good afternoon, John. And just, you know, first of all, I want to say thanks for having me on and really just putting some light on this, you know, unfortunate but very special situation that we've got going here at Multnomah. Yeah, it was interesting. I woke up and had a dozen of emails from the school about different meetings and whatnot, and got a group text from my athletic director saying that we were going to have this meeting today. And so all the coaches met in this room, and our leadership at our school, was in the room as well. And, and then we were handed yellow envelopes, and it had individual dates of when our last day of employment was going to be, just depending on, you know, if you were in season or not in season and whatnot. And we just were informed that, you know, Jessup made a business decision and decided that they were going to discontinue athletics starting in fall of 2025. It's kind of a shocker for us. I mean, we kind of knew, you hear rumbles, you kind of see it all over the country, unfortunately, of different small schools that are closing due to enrollment stuff. But not until it hits you is when you realize that it's real. So it was unfortunate.
Yeah, and you've got guys in that locker room that are competing and, you know, will have to go out after learning that, you know, their school is disbanding athletics and have to go, okay, this is it. Like, this is the last dance. What was that practice, that next practice like once the team got informed that this was it?
Yeah, well, we had practice the same day, and actually a couple of hours later after the coaches met. Then we had an all-staff faculty meeting, and unfortunately they announced that they were going to completely discontinue the undergrad program, which unfortunately was a majority of the had an impact on the faculty and staff, also losing their employment. And then following that meeting, we had a meeting with all the students which fortunately, you know, the majority of our student population is student athletes. So right after the announcement was made, my associate head coach, Coach Curry, and I, we met with our players literally right in the room, in this auditorium room. We met and we huddled together, and I wanted to kind of get their, just kind of get how they were feeling. Didn't know if they wanted to have practice that night or if they needed some time. But each and every one of them, you know, looked at me, looked at my associate head coach, and they said, like, we're rolling with you, coach. Like, we want to finish this out strong. We're having an unbelievable season. And I was so fixed on trying to focus on getting my guys, you know, plans for next year. Like, I told them, I was like, I'm going to do everything I can to get you guys on somewhere. And one of my players immediately looked at me and said, hey, coach, we want to do what we can to help you and, you know, and Coach Curry establish a position, you know. So that kind of just sets the tone of the vibe of our team. And we've been focused ever since. And unfortunately, it's kind of, you know, the right timing or unright timing. And a few days later, we ended up traveling to College of Idaho, and they were the number five team in the country. And with everything weighing on our shoulders, we competed. We came up a bit short, but it was a lot to ask for my players to go out there and compete at a high level, knowing that they don't know what their future is going to be like after this year.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even know. Like, obviously, you still need to qualify for the postseason. You guys are right there. This is a program people may remember. And, you know, Steven, who's part of the show here, remembers playing against Multnomah University. But people may think of Multnomah University and think three-point baskets. You know, still has the NAIA record for most threes in a game, 38. Justin Martin scored 74 in a game one time. But your team's different. It's more balanced. You guys play defense. You're selfless. Why has this team had success?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just in my second year as a head coach. I took over after Coach Bickley was there 20 years, and he really, really built the foundation of the program. Again, Multnomah is really known for the three-point shooting, as you know, talked about with guys like Justin Martin, having, you know, an all-time scoring performance. And, you know, for me, I wanted to make Multnomah competitive in the Cascade Collegiate Conference. That's a conference that we play in, and which is one of the toughest, if not the toughest, NAIA conferences in the country. And I just wanted to make Multnomah competitive. They had only made, you know, they've been NAIA since 2010, and they had only made their postseason one time. And so that was kind of a goal. And I really wanted to say, what can we do to be competitive? And so had seven seniors last year, and we, you know, went through my first year. But this year, my associate head coach, Coach Curry, and I, we really sat down and said, what's the identity of the team that we want to build? And our biggest thing was, you know, competitive stamina. Can we recruit guys that are going to be competitive for a long period of time? And it really starts on the defensive end, which, again, has gotten us in situations where we are having a very successful season, and it's primarily due to our defense.
We're talking to Coach Teo Jem. He is the men's basketball coach at Multnomah University. It'll be their last season competing in collegiate athletics. NAIA programs at Multnomah University will disband Jessup University. It seems to me, Teo, that Jessup was more interested in the seminary part of the campus and, you know, kind of did away with the undergraduates, did away with the athletics. It's really sad to me to see that happening, but... But what's the goal now for you guys? Because six regular season games, how do you qualify for the postseason in your division?
Yeah, so there's 12 teams in our conference. The top eight teams go on and make the conference tournament. And you know, with six games left, you know, we've got two home games this weekend. We play Friday at 7:30, Saturday at 5:00. We win those two, I believe mathematically, we'll be able to solidify a spot with still additional four games left. And there's really, you know, between second and seventh place in our conference currently, it's only three games apart. So, you know, if we handle our business and do what we're supposed to do and just, you know, take each day for these next, you know, 2.5 weeks and get better at being us, then, you know, we'll be able to not only secure post-conference spot, which would only be the second time in school history, but potentially host a home game, and, you know, eventually it could be a possibility of getting an invite to the national tournament, which Multnomah hasn't even kind of been thought of to be a considered as a national tournament team. And for the first time in program history, there's talks about us making it. We just got to handle business the rest of these six games.
You guys are home Friday at 7:30. Home Saturday at 5 o'clock, and then next week you're home Friday and Saturday as well. So four of the next six games are at home. Need a couple of wins to ensure and lock down that postseason berth. But we're talking to Teo Jem, the coach at Multnomah University. All right, help us get to know your team a little bit. Tell us about your team captain, your leading scorer. You know, give us, put a face on this team for us.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, first it starts with my associate head coach. I've only got one other coach with my coaching staff. His name's Quinn Curry. He's out of Chicago. One of the best assistant coaches that I could possibly have. So it starts with him. He did a lot of the recruiting with a lot of our players. I decided to only keep one returner from the year before. It was my only high school freshman. His name is Marjay, out of Chicago. As a point guard, he's grown to be one of the best three-point shooters in our conference. And I've got a wide range of just players on my team. I've got a couple of local kids, Elion Ford, he went to Jefferson High School, Kadeem Nelson, he went to De La Salle, and I've got Henry, he went to Franklin, and I even have Alex who went to Oregon City. But then I've got three guys from Utah. They all grew up playing basketball together. Keelan, he's our leading scorer. I've got Noah McCord, he's been a multi-defensive player of the week in our conference, and I've got Noah Madsen, who is one of the best point guards, has really helped us improve our assists. I've just got a wide range. We've got, I've got a couple kids from the Texas area. I've got a kid from California. I've got a couple married guys on the team. It's just a wide balance. And the best part about this team is that they're so close. I mean, you know, we just had a road trip, and, you know, once we got back from dinner, they're spending hours in the lobby all talking about, you know, just relationship stuff and marriage stuff. You have the married guys talking to the single guys and guys, you know, and then we're talking about basketball, and then they're talking about how can we improve. They're talking about, you know, just a wide range of things. And I think that that's what makes this team and this season so special, which then goes right onto the court. It just goes right onto the court. And these guys will be able to, I know basketball is a small part in these next six games, plus the postseason is important, but I'm confident that our group chats will continue to go on years and years and years past this season. And I know some of them have really, really established lifelong friendships. So sad, but, I'm truly blessed and thankful that, you know, God blessed all of us to be together this year. And it's really, really special. And we're hoping to, keep things going.
What will you do next year? Because, you know, in addition to these kids, they'll go play, maybe they'll play other places, but you've done a nice job in 2 years, and you've elevated the program, and, you know, this should be, an opportunity for you, and instead there's a lot of uncertainty out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, when I first started this call, is that, you know, my number one focus was getting my associate head coach somewhere and then getting my players somewhere, and one of my players asked me, like, well, you know, what do you need from us? And so, you know, I don't exactly know. I've got, you know, I'm blessed to be able to have a network of, other college coaches. And they immediately reached out to me and said, hey, coach, give me a call after the season. Let's talk. Let's try to figure something out. Or, hey, coach, I hear that this might open up. As of right now, I don't have anything solidified. But, you know, one thing I have going for me is that, you know, I know that I can – have a huge impact on a college program, whether it's being a head coach. I'm also open to even being an assistant coach. Just adding, being able to help build a culture and a winning program is something that, I desire to focus on. And then I know that, you know, I continue to handle this season the way that I'm handling and continue to build relationships. I know something is going to come in the right place is going to open up for myself and my family.
Teo Jem with us, Multnomah University men's basketball coach. For people just tuning in, the basketball program will cease playing, as will the entire athletic department. They will cease playing sports at the end of this competitive season, so they are focused on trying to keep this season alive. Joe in Oregon City's called in. He wants to talk to you, Coach. Joe, go ahead. You're on with Coach Teo Jem.
Hey, Teo, this is Joe Gardner. I'm one of the teachers at David Douglas, retired. But I just wanted to give you a big shout-out because, last time I saw you was at the game at Douglas against Nelson. And you just, man, you're a stand-up guy. You've always been great for the community. And I liked watching you play back in the day. And I'm sad that your program's ending. But I know you're such a great guy that you're going to be great.
Joe, I thank you very much, and I've appreciated our interactions, even once I left school. So it's good to hear that. It's good to hear hear from you, and I hope all is well.
Yeah, look, I think you got a lot of people rooting for you and a lot of people pulling for you out there, and then you've got these games coming up, and, you know, I think it's inspired stuff. But I got to ask you before I cut you loose here, Coach, you know, the only reason I know about this story is I got a message, and, you know, I got a former magazine editor and sports writer, 80-year-old guy, reaches out to me and says, hey, you know, I got a story for you. You need to know what's going on. And I look up, and Harry Cummins, who is, you know, a former UPA I writer in Southern California and a magazine guy, he has become kind of your unofficial beat reporter. What's it like to have an 80-year-old former sports writer hanging around practice and games and meetings?
Absolutely, and I wasn't going to hang up this phone call without giving him, you know, his flowers. He's just been a blessing to not only the school and the basketball program, but even myself. As soon as I got on last year as a head coach, you know, he reached out to me right away and connected with me, and just made me feel welcome. Made me feel, you know, appreciative. And he has supported me the entire way, during our ups and our downs, on the court, off the court. And, you know, he's just been a supporter for this program. Even before I got here, he's always advocating for Multnomah and the success. I mean, and we're just a small Christian college in Portland. A lot of people, even from Portland, have never even heard of Multnomah or haven't even, you know, been by a game or even been on campus and whatnot. And he's advocated for Multnomah for a long period of time, and we're truly, truly thankful for his support. And, you know, he's going to continue to be with us for the remainder of the season, and that's been additional motivation even for myself, is, you know, I'm giving him the opportunity to write about something very, very special and something dear to his heart, and we're just truly, truly thankful for Harry.
All right, you guys got some love on the show. You got some love in print. Now, Friday and Saturday, for people who are going to show up Friday and see you play at 7:30, what do they expect to see?
Yeah, we're a team that, you know, we talk about being unified and being connected. You talk about that in sports. You will see that from the warm-ups. You'll see that, you know, even just how we high-five. We high-five with our hands up in the air because we understand that there is even a different effort from high-fiving down low versus high-fiving up top. And, you know, just seeing that you know, we are a very unselfish team, and we just enjoy being together, and we're enjoying this. I mean, I know it's a sad situation, but you would never be able to tell by watching us play. We played the same way before the announcement, and we played the same way afterwards. So it's fun basketball to watch, and I've got so much talent on the team, and I'm just excited to see our remainder of our season.
Coach Teo Jem, Multnomah University. Go check him out Friday, 7:30, Saturday, 5 o'clock, both home games. Coach, wish you the best. Keep up the fight. Really admire what you guys are doing.
Hey, I appreciate you, John. I really do. And, you know, thanks for reaching out, and thanks for the support, and we'll be in touch.
All right, there he goes, Teo Jem. Stephen Vaughn, you played against Multnomah, and fun fact, our researchers dug this up. Did you dunk in a game against Multnomah University?
I did. I had one dunk in my college career, and it was at Multnomah back when it was Multnomah Bible College. That's how old I am. But, yeah, I had a dunk there. I will say I didn't try to dunk the entire season, like practice or games or anything, and I got a steal, and I just said, you know what, it was one of my last games in my career, and I just went for it.
Yeah.
And I got the
video of it, and it looks like you just got the ball. Did the ball come out of your hand as you're dunking, or was it a real dunk?
Do you think it was a real dunk? It was not a layup. It wasn't a layup grab the rim situation. It was a real, real big time dunk. Come on now.
All right, but what do you make of this? Like, you played in that level. You were around teams and programs like, you know, Multnomah University. Like, there's a place in the ecosystem in NAIA sports or D2 sports or D3 sports. On a college campus, there's a place in the ecosystem for this. And unfortunately, you're watching schools get squeezed with enrollment issues from the bottom up. And you're seeing from the top down, it's money, it's media rights at the Division I level. It's like a tube of toothpaste, and our college scene is getting squeezed in a way that isn't right.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, as a small college guy, it's sad to see the landscape of high school sports saying, well, I'm only going D1 or nothing. Like, that's the only thing that matters when you can have a great experience playing on the smaller college, whether it is D2 or D3 or NAIA like myself, like you can get what you want out of your experience by playing smaller college. You also may have a better experience. A lot of these kids, we see how many kids enter the portal, John, from, you know, the Division I level. Well, if they've started out at the D2 level, guess what? They have a foot, they have a step up on everybody else already in that program, and you may become even a better player at that level. And if you have dreams of playing, you know, overseas or professionally somewhere, you can do it from any level you want. Like when I was at Concordia, the year before I got there, we had a guy who was playing overseas. Like, it is possible to do those kind of things as long as you put the work in and you're good enough. So it's sad that that's kind of the culture we have now, especially for basketball. It's D1 or bust, and that's all it is. When there's so many good levels, it's a more entertaining type of style, honestly. Like, the smaller colleges, it's more up and down. It's more offense. It's more fast-paced, and that's the way I like to play. So there is a spot, and it is sad that some of these programs are going away.
I am eager to see if some of our listeners will show up Friday and Saturday. 7:30 tip on their campus in their gym on Friday night. I've got a few friends texting me saying, are you going to go? I need to make one of these next four games. And so I kind of have Friday night's game circled on my calendar and then Saturday's game circled as well. But if you're a listener and you want to support, you want the kids to look up into the stands and say, hey, I think one of the best, most validating things that a college basketball player or an athlete at any level can attain is just to look up and see that somebody showed up to see him play. And I would love people to fill that gym on Friday night, fill that gym on Saturday, and cheer for this team and this group of players and this coach, because, man, I can't imagine being called in midseason and told, hey, university is sold, and there will be no more undergraduate academics. We're going to let people finish their degrees other places and sort of teach out, you know, the undergraduates. There's only 350 undergraduates left. And by the way, the NAIA sports programs are all going away. And here's your end date. And by the way, it's January 14th when they get this memo mid-season. And so to this basketball coach and to this team, I say Godspeed. Go get it. And, you know, eyes on you. Leave it here. Our big splash coming up.